Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome back to another Sunday Night Live. Just as Steve Harvey would say, we got a good one for you. And I'm so excited because I have all of my family here with me on this Father's Day. And by the way, we just want to tell our listeners out there, happy Father's Day, and we hope you enjoyed your family today. But I have a whole room here full, and so if everybody would be willing to just let them know who's here. Yeah, they're so excited to let you know that they're here.
Hey, hey, it's Jacob.
Presley is here today.
Hey, hey, it's Coy. Jason.
James.
Chancey.
Ashton.
Jinx.
So I have all my my children with their mates, and I actually have my hunk of a man here with me today, and we're just going to talk a little bit about Father's Day. One thing about our family is we just like to have fun, and sometimes sarcasm comes with that, but that's okay. With this being Father's Day, does anybody want to share anything about a little bit of what Father's Day might mean to you?
Honor our Father, our earthly Father and our heavenly Father.
Yes. Well, I never even thought about it, honoring our heavenly Father.
Whew. Yeah, it's about Father's Day. Keep God in mind for honor what He's done for us, too. Not just a earthly Father. A lot of people have earthly Father, or never knew them, or had bad ones, you know.
Right.
So we have a good one, perfect one in heaven that you can honor and think of. You know, have a good earthly Father.
And so we have this once a year. It's so there's a difference because, you know, I talked about this on Mother's Day. The role that the mother plays and the role that the father plays in the family, and that's different. And so do you guys see a difference between a role that the mother plays and the role that the father plays?
Yeah, fun with the father.
And that's no lie. That is no lie. Father has all the fun.
I can also see, a mother is loving, more nurturing, caring, more father. He's, disciplines the kids more than the mothers. And I just remember going out, my kids spanked by my father. And, he disciplined me, but he loved me. He disciplined me.
But when dad is away, we got wooden spoons and everything.
Garden hoses extended.
Dad, kids will play.
With no wire hangers.
Go pick a switch.
What's that? The time to prosecute is over with now, so, I mean, it can't be held against me. Well, I just think also, too, that Father's Day, the difference in the father and the father tends to be a little bit more, teach their kids. Typically more things. And so, and it's probably more like how to work and just the different kind of ethics and morals. And so I was just wondering, can you think of anything in particular, and it doesn't have to be James, it could be anybody, but that a father has taught you or a man, a fatherly figure in your life has taught you something.
Yeah, my father taught me he was going to work. When there's work to be done, you don't worry about eating, you work. We're like, does Dad ever take a lunch break? He wouldn't eat, we'd keep working. We'd be about to die after 20 hours, no heat. I was like, we're going to stop eating.
I mean, we already talked about it before, but I was told, you know, I can't drive until I learn how to change a tire. So my dad taught me how to change a tire. You know, in case you're somewhere stranded, gotta change the tire.
That's right.
You don't work, you don't eat. And we like to eat.
So one of the things, though, I know that I have seen James be a father to you guys, to my kids, is the things that he taught them how to do out here, on the farm or ranch or out here in the country. And that's where I think you've learned everything, as far as you learned how to dig post holes, how to build fence, how to back a trailer, you know, different things like that. But those are things that we learn from our fathers that are physical, you know. But what about any other things that you might have learned from your father?
I guess maybe how a woman should be treated, how to love, you know.
Yeah. Sure.
How to pull a cat. Come on.
Finances.
You taught us that, you know, being in the Word is important. You know, putting God first in your life is of utmost importance. Even if maybe you didn't want to wake up and listen to the devotion before class.
Oh, my. That's another story right there.
That made us wake up every morning.
But one of the things that I wanted to set that point or talk about, and that is what Jacob brought up, was finances. And I know that James talks a lot about finances. And so, will you go into a little more detail about what he has taught you in finances?
I don't know if you want me to go into any detail.
Okay.
Think twice.
Huh?
Before you make any major decision,
I mean,
spending in your finances, it's always
first thing.
Every time you call him, I ask him about money or any big purchase, his first thing is what to pray about it. Just pray about it, and he'll tell you what to do. Best advice.
Or when you want something, when you're talking to him about it, ask if you're tithing.
Tithing is most important.
Yeah. And we've got several people here, so it doesn't have to be just James as a father. It can be speak up, you know, if you guys have something that you want to throw in there. I know you guys are over there trying to be quiet, but I'm going to pick on you a little bit. So just jump in there, okay? And boy, you too. When thinking about a father, one thing that's really special to me, and I'm probably sure you can hear him in the background, is we have Mr. Jace over there, and one of my children has had their first child. And I know that that's just the beginning of where our family is going, and we've got two more children that are going to be starting a family soon. And so what does it mean knowing that you've just become a father and that you guys are about to become fathers? Or not that anybody's about to become a father, but in the future, what does it mean to you to be a type of father? What do you think that it looks like for you? How do you feel about being a new father? All of you, you know, like, what are some expectations you think that you might have? Or ideas? What does it mean to be a father?
Jesus, I live more.
Protect and provide. and lead.
To be example?
You got to lead them in the right direction. They're going to mirror, especially having a son, probably going to mirror the father. That would be a good example. What about the aunt and uncle? What are they going to do?
That's right. What are the aunt and uncles going
to
do?
It's bad habits. Give them all the candy they want. Bring them back sugar.
That's absolutely right. And so will Yaya. Yaya's going to do the same thing. Spoil them.
When I once get past the official, call your uncle Nache.
First time parent. You know, you have a big responsibility. The Lord has entrusted this child to you. Now you have to provide for this kid. I think the pressure could get start building it up. I think we just trust in our Heavenly Father then that He'll take care of everything.
Mm-hmm. You know, that just to be an example as a parent in general, right? Because although we do listen to what you say, but they're also watching you and what you do and, you know, the way you live your life, the way you treat people. Like, is it Robert Morris?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was talking about how he used to have $100 bills in his pocket just for whenever God told him to give money out to people. And so one day, I think you heard this too, he was talking about his daughter. One day he was preaching and he just said about how a man had gave away this money, and we're talking about him, but you know, he didn't say that in the sermon, but he knew a man that had $100 bills that would just give his way to people. He was a really generous giver, and I guess his daughter maybe wasn't doing something right or wasn't following the Lord or something like that, and she ended up, you know, she knew it was her dad, and she just said that, you know, all her life by seeing him do that, you know, and give out that money to people, that it taught her to be generous, you know, and to be a giver. Taught her, you know.
She wanted to be like her dad.
Yeah, I wanted to be like her dad. And it actually helped her, you know, be generous, you know, towards others.
Yeah. You know, really, and that's kind of where I was going earlier when Jacob brought up finances, is James is a giver. And I see that in my children too as well, and I believe that you learned that from your father, and also I believe that you learned tithing, that how important it is to tithe your money and put God, have God involved into your finances.
That's what we said.
That's right. In the Bible, you know, it says that God honors, you know, the cheerful giver, and then in Proverbs it talks about being generous. You know, He'll bless you with more, but if you hold out on being generous, then you end up in poverty.
You know. Right. So we're talking about earthly fathers, but let's switch over to our Heavenly Father. We have a Heavenly Father that loves us so much that He gave us the ultimate gift that we could give versus us. And so I think about gifts, you know, we like to give our fathers gifts on Father's Day most of the time. But on Father's Day today, that is one thing that's the gift He's given us, is that free gift of salvation and grace. And so would anybody want to share a little bit about, you know, anything that God has just really helped them with, or any area that He may have answered a prayer or anything like that?
Well, one thing is that He gives us the Holy Spirit, and He says that He'll never leave us or forsake us. And at any time, when I was growing up, my dad was the way he was. He was pretty harsh. But you never even would have thought of going to Dad and asking him much of anything, I don't think. I don't think I ever would. I don't remember ever going to him asking him anything about anything I can remember. And so that transition over to having a Heavenly Father that I can ask anything and He'll always tell me the answer is something that's You know what I mean? Not that my dad wouldn't answer me, but in my mind, it was, you ain't going to ask him, you know, because he's just going to do whatever. But that Heavenly Father, and knowing that He'll never leave you, He'll never forsake you, and He'll always give you the answer that you're looking for, that you need to hear, is something that I really enjoy about my Heavenly Father, because I don't, maybe it's been me and my interpretation of it, but I don't know that I would have got that from my father, my earthly father. He probably would have had an answer, but I don't know if it would have been, it could have been my understanding, like I said, it could have been my understanding and stuff, you know what I mean? But my dad didn't go to church when we were little, and we were always, well, Dad stay at home, why can't we stay home?
Yeah.
You know, if you stay home with Dad, I don't know, he's going to whoop you while you're here until I get home from church. Okay, we're going to church. So if we want to stay home with Dad, we had to get whooped till Mom got back from church, so we said we'd go to church. He goes now, you know, I mean, it's changed now, but when we were young, you know, and even growing up, you know, we never really come and had that, ask you much of anything, you know, about hardly anything, I don't remember. And so that's one thing that I tried to change when I became a father, was that I wanted my kids to be able to come to me and ask me something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then with the Heavenly Father, it's just so much more, because it's, He won't tell you the wrong answer. He'll always give you the right answer. But sometimes when your kids do come to you, man, you want to give them the right answer, but sometimes you don't know it. But anyway, that's one thing with me that's been a difference between a spiritual father and my earthly father, was that coming to and talking to, that relationship type stuff, as far as getting advice and asking for certain things.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, your earthly father, I think of my father, I think of a loving father, but I also know, you know, he made mistakes, as we all do as humans. But when I came to Jesus, you know, and I became a child of God, I had this father that was all good, all loving. He wanted the best for me. And it was just awesome to know that, to have a new father in a heavenly place, you know, to get to experience life with Him here on earth. Which, you know, I love my earthly father, but my heavenly father is so much more, because He's just given me so much better. Like James said, you know, He has the best advice for us, the best wisdom for us.
Yes.
Yeah, earthly fathers, you know, you never want to steer your kids wrong, you know what I mean? You just, sometimes you just do, because we're human. I've heard guys give their teenage adult sons advice, you know, just overhearing the conversation type stuff, but I'm just like, that's not the right advice. Don't listen to your father, you know, but, because you're human, but, and then, we all make mistakes. That's one thing you kind of beat yourself up as a father too, is I did this wrong with my kids, I did that wrong with my kids, you know. But one of those deals, it's what's done is done. You know, don't beat yourself up about making mistakes, because God will come along and fix your mistakes. Just do the best that you can, you know.
Yeah, and that's what that's the mothers. They do the same thing,
yeah.
You know. And we talked about on Mother's Day that there's a thing of mother's guilt, and
yeah.
I'm sure dads have the same thing. You know, one of the things that my father he did not, until right before he actually died, he did not go to church. He was not a Christian, and as a matter of fact, he was very physical and abusive, and for me, my relationship with God, when I realized how gentle he was so gentle with me that it just really ministered to me, because God cared and He loved me. And I believe God comes to us in a way that ministers to us the most, because how He is gentle with me may not be the same as what you might need, James, or anybody else. Is, you know, sometimes you need God to be like, no, you know, you need to hear that stern, but He was so gentle with me. And when I experienced that gentleness and that that love and that care, it just really, that was the difference for me, is because I didn't really see that in my father. I knew he loved me, and he just had some mental problems that caused, you know, there to be some physical issues. And so,
he's so patient with us.
Yeah. And even when we know we don't do what we know we should do, he's always there, gentle, ready to receive us and take us back.
Never leave or forsake you.
That's right.
Makes me think of that movie, well, not originally the movie, but the book and the CD stuff, The Shack. You know, the guy was so anti-dad, he hated his dad so bad. God showed up as the father in the form of a woman, you know, because he would have resented a man. God's going to meet you where you need to be met on your level.
And it was a grandma type.
Yeah.
Yeah, a woman, grandma type personality.
It was the movie, he came as... Anyway, it was... That's God. He's going to meet you where you need to be met. So.
That's one thing that I just really think is really neat about God, is because that is what he does. Again, I know I don't keep saying the same thing over and over, but what would minister to me may not always minister to somebody else, and he knows all those details, and he wants to meet your needs, and he wants to be your father, and he wants you to come to him. He wants you to ask him. He wants you to come to him when you're upset, and he wants you to tell him why you're mad, just like, you know, any other relationship that you would have. You know, that you would keep that relationship, that communication going.
Even with all the, you know, we've all been through stuff in our lives, and we all maybe haven't been doing right in our past and stuff like that, but even still, he loved you then and still wanted you then, you know. He loved you when you were a mess, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And was still seeking after you even then, maybe when you were doing right or what you were supposed to be doing. He's always seeking you out.
One of the things that, because I'm thinking about, because I just brought up what type of father that I had. Of course, he's no longer living. He's no longer living now. He's been gone since the boys were babies. And so, well over 20 years. And Father's Day may not always be a happy time for everybody. You know, it may be a bad memory of a father that they had, you know. And sometimes I think some people can confuse the way our earthly father teaches us, that's how our heavenly father is going to teach us, or treat us. And what do you guys think about that?
He understands what you've been saying. He knows exactly what you need and where to meet you.
He's the perfect father. Every father should try to be like him.
I think also that, you know, when you're growing up as I was a boy growing up, and I wanted to imitate my father. I wanted to make him so proud, you know. I wanted my father to be proud of me. Everything I did, sports, anything, my work. And then that changed when I found my new father in heaven. I was like, how can I serve him? How can I make him proud now? How can I be a faithful servant to him? And it seems to my motives and stuff started changing. Not trying to please so much my earthly father, but how can I please my heavenly father? How can I do good? Do what is right.
I feel like every son is that way. They try to be good. They want their dads proud of them, or to make them happy in everything they do. That's how it should be with our heavenly father, not just our... I'm not saying it's a bad thing with your earthly father, but we really should be trying to do that with our heavenly father.
I think once you have kids, you kind of understand, like, God's love. I mean, it says God is love, but once you have a kid, I think you understand so much better, like, how much God loves you. And I think as a father who is supposed to be, like, the man is supposed to be the head of the household, he's supposed to lead his family spiritually and provide and all those things, but really you get a better understanding of how much God actually loves you. And you can appreciate his love that much more, because when you have something to love and care for, you nurture it, and then you nurture your relationship better with God, you have a better understanding for it.
Mm-hmm.
So true. That's why it's hard to, you know, Pastor, I was talking about, because, you know, his two boys, but It's just crazy to think about when Abraham, when God, you know, he waited forever for the son. He was waiting for, and it's just, you know, as soon as he said, sacrifice your son, without even thinking about it, Abraham went ahead and did it. You know, he's so faithful to God, you know. Like you talk about with the kids, but his heart, you know, he's, you know, so faithful to God and always, you know, wanted to do whatever he called him to do or whatever, but, you know, it's hard to fathom that, to want to give up your son, sacrifice, you know, this ultimate love.
And be obedient to it.
Yeah, like Abraham, I mean, that's just, I don't have a son, but I don't know if I could do that, you know, have that much faith. That'd be so hard to, you know, kill your own kid.
There's times you want to kill him.
I don't know about taking a 3-day journey. That's how I'm thinking about it.
Let me
on the spot now. God, tell this right now. Right here, right now.
I can do it today.
You give the word, God, and I'm doing it.
Grass, Lord, can I do it now?
I got the spot ready.
That is hilarious. So, do you guys have any stories you want to share?
We can talk about moving cows if you want to.
Oh, let me tell you something. Just don't run the gate when you're moving the cows. That's why you gotta make mom do it. Dad can't be too mad at mom for too long.
Look, I've already told the listeners before, you don't run the gate. Dad runs the gate.
That's amazing.
I will go and get a wild cow out before I run the gate.
I know that's right. I'll have a cow running at me before I'm running the gate.
That's right. John will run the gate.
If you do run the gate, know which ones go and which ones don't.
And I usually don't. Until it's too late.
Speaking of which, we sort the cows.
Okay.
That's all right. Yeah. We're out of it. We're gonna be gone.
Well, this is not really Father's Day related, but it made me think about it. But when I realized when all my children graduated high school and moved out, because it took a little while for them to move out, but when they moved out, it seemed like all three of them moved out at the same time, and I was just like, what now? What now? Of course, I think James was having a party over there.
The grocery bill
went down. Yeah, that's right. But it made me have an appreciation for my mom, because I realized how she must have felt, you know, because we're like, I'm getting out of here, I'm moving away, and then you go, and then, you know, you live your own life.
And empty nest syndrome.
Yes. I think it took me about a year to get over that. But it's a real thing.
Dads don't have it.
That's a Mother's Day talk, not a
Father's Day. You said that word another one.
But yeah, dads don't have it. Dads are like, okay.
Went to Walmart and said, what, $32 on groceries? Woohoo! Not 400.
Shoot, 400.
I think there's so many, you know, you may not be a father too. There's a lot of father figures out there too.
Yeah, and so we may be just talking about our own father, but it could be any father figure. There's been, and one of the things that Mark Meek, you know, he used to do Sunday Night Live, and just that little time I got to know him, I saw him as that fatherly figure. You know, he would tell me things straight up. You know, I'd ask him, and he would tell me. And but yeah, it didn't have to be your own father.
And a lot of people that have had kids, the kids have moved out and moved, especially moved away, you know. There's other kids that need a father figure, you know. You just step in to fill that role. And a lot of times you're filling that role whether you know it or not. These kids are looking to you. They see you at school or work or church or wherever they see you at. You know what I mean? And they look to you as a father because they don't have one. And you may not even know it, you know. So you may be a father figure out there and not even realize that you are.
That's true.
There's been a bunch of guys that was worked better with the older guys. And I'm not saying father figure, but I seem to work and learn more from the older guys.
Using wisdom from them.
Right, yeah. Just learning. Because they know the most, and they needed somebody young. So who knows? younger, I was always with him.
All
day. Yeah, and that's a strong fact.
That's right.
These people that have been through life a little bit, so they can help. They might have gone through some of your goals. They've been working through all for 20 years, so they can help the young guys that just started.
And he and both physicians already, I can hear the older guys telling me stuff when I was, you know, young, rough looking. Don't pick that up, boy, your back's gonna hurt when you get old and all this. And of course, I didn't listen. Just sit over your chair, tall old man, I got the work done. You get this.
You don't know anything.
And you pick up 300-400-pound stuff all day long, and when you get up, you still hear those guys' voices. Oh, you're gonna still hear them today, so. Those guys are trying to prevent me from, you know, hurting myself like they did. And of course, I didn't listen. So now I'm the same way. But a lot of the kids now will listen a little better when I used to listen. But you almost have to make them work. But we wanted to work. But and you appreciate it when you have someone that's as a younger person like that that will listen to what you tell them. So you're like, hey, this guy listens here. I could pour all the wisdom I have into this guy and teach him something because these other guys don't want to learn. They want to, you know, if you find someone that most of the time, if you're willing to listen, there's somebody out there who's willing to teach.
That's right.
It's a whole lot more enjoyable to teach someone that wants to learn, as I'm sure many teachers can attest to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't want to learn a lot this week.
Well, it could be levels of influence at different stages of your life. I mean, even though it could be to, you know, like you're in your 20s or 30s, it could be for somebody that's in their teens or whatever.
Coaching.
Baseball
teams and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I think it all goes back to loving people and being willing to be open to that. And when you see, you know, if somebody needs a little bit of guidance, you know, be willing to do that in a loving way.
That's the hard part, the loving way.
You know, I've noticed a lot of young teenagers, if you get on to them and give them rules, they won't tell you they like them. Teenagers love rules. I don't care what they say. They don't like to always follow them sometimes, but they love that they're structured. Children are the same way. They like them. They may test the rules to see what they get away with. But when it comes to the end of the day, they know what they can do and what they can't do, and they're happier with that, and they respect you more for keeping the rules the same. It's not today you can do this and tomorrow you can't. It's the same all the time. That's what kids respect that a lot, and you get that from teenagers and young children a lot. And if you're that person that has the rules, you're going to be the same with your rules. You're going to enforce them on everybody, not just some of the kids or whatever. That's something that kids, and I think that's a father figures, mothers too. But I think that's more of that's something that dads teach their children. You know that you're going to do this, and it's not just your kids, it's all kids. And the kids see that, they respect that.
Yeah, I was a teenager, I didn't do what I want. Do what I wanted. Let's drink beer, let's go party. And no structure, zero structure. And it led me down the wrong path. I believe as fathers, you need to structure your kids. Structure is very important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, most kids think they want to have, I know a perfect example. Maybe the parents are divorced, and with mom, the teenage daughter could do whatever she wanted. No curfew, she could do whatever she wanted with no rules. You just do you. And so that's where she would go. She'd come back with dad. She had very strict rules. She had to be in, you know, home by 9, 10 o'clock, whatever the time was, right? You'd be home by a certain curfew, you know, doing this. A lot of rules. She would come back, but she would leave again. But she would always come back to the rules. And she was, they don't love me. She says, they don't love me over there. You love me because you care for me and you're trying to keep me safe. So even as I think the girl was 16 or 17, she said that the rules that you were trying to protect her was a way of showing that girl. She seen that. Now I don't think that the dad did love her more than the mom. You know what I'm saying? It showed her different ways, but in her eyes, by those rules and that structure, this parent loves me more because this one lets me do whatever I want. She knows it's bad for me, but she lets me do it anyway. So I don't think she loves me. So that child, you know, that young girl seen the rules as a showing of love. And it is a showing of love, you know what I mean?
Well, God's Word says that He disciplines those that He loves.
Right. I mean, that's one way you do that. So, but even, I wouldn't have ever thought that I think she was 16 or 17, would be able to see that. Now, looking back, maybe when she's 25 or 30, or sitting in jail, you know, she might have said, oh, you know what, maybe this was better. But she seen it at that young age, right in the middle of it. And that was pretty impressive to me that kids can see that. They know, you know what I mean? Because that's what you're doing. You know, you set rules to keep them from getting hurt or causing them, you know, to cause problems. And so that's why you're doing it. You're not doing it just because you like to make rules and make them not have no fun, you know? Right.
Follow them. You can say, turn them up in the way they should go and they will not stray from the path you know.
So that reminds me of a story on you correctly, where you had a curfew to be home at, I believe it was 10 o'clock, and you did not make curfew. Would you like to tell them?
Are you talking about the time that... I don't know where it started. Maybe the curfew started at 10 or 11. Whatever it was.
Whatever grade you was in was your curfew.
That's right. All I know is, if you were late, you got shaved off 30 minutes.
Well, I think I got down to like 9 or 9:30, and I had a job where I had to put stuff, I worked at Thriftway, you know, and you had to face everything at the end. I'm like, Dad, I can't make it. We have to stay at work. He said, you got to figure something out. Well, yeah. If, you know, had to be on time or else, you know, you shaved off 30 minutes, that's for sure.
I forgot about this 30 minute.
I think it was 30 minutes.
I thought it was every minute that you were late was however many hours got cut off.
Maybe that was.
Because I showed up at 9:01 one time and my curfew went from 9 to 8.
That might have been it.
At least for that night anyway, right?
All I know is I didn't know how I was going to be able to make it on time for curfew with my job. That's it. You better figure it out.
But did you make it?
I think I ended up did. I don't remember. I'm sure I did. I think I'd rather lose my job than be in trouble with Dad, so I figured it out, I guess.
It's that structure.
It's that structure we have.
You brought up a good point about an earthly father setting rules and guidelines. And we have a heavenly father that there are rules and guidelines. I there's guidelines that are in the Bible, and people tend to see that as if they follow God, it's not going to be fun, or they can't do what they like, or, there's just too many rules. But God has set that up so that we would be protected.
That's right. He's not doing it, you know, to be mean, but that's like when it talks about He doesn't want you to. He doesn't want you not to sin because, you know, he hates sin because it's going to cause him, like, heartache.
He wants to mess for us.
Right.
Or what am I trying to say?
Right. He hates sin because it's going to cause you pain. Yeah.
It's like when I told you guys, don't go in the road or you're going to get run over.
What about going a half mile down the road to the pond?
Well, you got your tiny walk to all the way home that time, about a year old. But yeah, we parents who say don't go out in the road because you can get hit by a car. You know, well, I want to do what I want to do. You know, and comparing to what God says and what God has for us to do. You know, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. But if you do this, this is what's going to happen. And
you have free will, so you can't do it.
You can. And he'll still love you.
But there's consequences.
There'll be consequences.
Repercussions.
And then I think sometimes what happens is people will blame God for what their consequence was when that was a choice that they made.
It's like, no, just a hot stove to the child. You're telling the child, don't touch the hot stove. And compare that to the commandment, don't commit adultery. You know, you can do both. But both of them are going to have consequences. I mean, you mean it's not that you can't do both, but neither one of them is going to be good for you.
Right.
And, you know, it's the same, it's a totally different deal, but it's, you know, I mean, you're telling that child, don't touch the hot stove for a reason. Because you know, if they touch that stove, they're going to get burned. And that law is in the Bible that God knows if you do that, you're going to get burned.
Could be a scar, you might
get medicine.
Yeah, your skin's gonna peel off.
Yeah.
Okay, so then God says don't have you know, God says don't have an affair or you know, well, yeah, that's even a whole other consequence that, you know, could really turn the family, you know.
You know, that it's not nothing to say, it's the two things popping in my mind though. I mean, regarding yourself, basically you're just harming yourself. That's a stove. And the other one's more people involved. But the same kind of concept, that was just what popped in my head. But it's there. It's not so that you won't touch the stove. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot more to it when you do touch that stove. It's going to be a lot more, you know, God, you don't want to see your child scream and holler and burn and have, you know, burns on their hand and then have to go to the doctor and do all that stuff. You know what I mean? That's part of it, you know, you're not necessarily going to watch them, you know, scream and holler at them, just because they live in an act out of them, probably, because they're probably such a good one, trying to, what, you know.
I didn't scare myself.
But you know what I mean, it's there for a reason, to protect them. It's not, you know, just touching my stove, you know.
Right.
And even if they do touch the stove, you know, you still don't love to take care of, you wish they wouldn't have done that.
Right. Yeah, God's going to still, he's going to love you if you do that, whatever it is, right? He's still going to be the same way. If you're going to take that child, you're going to love him, take him to the doctor when you need to, you're going to pay the money for it, you know.
Take him up, oh, it's okay.
All right.
Yes.
So they're beating him down, thinking, either I told you to do it, put it back on there again.
Okay.
They don't do that again, you know what I mean? You hope they learn from their mistakes and move on and love them anyway. Just like God does in all our mistakes.
I think that, and you know, the word, the Bible is, it gives us the roadmap to a blessed life, to have a life to heaven. Well, that's how much He loves us. He says, I'm going to tell you what not to do, what to do, to have a blessed life here on earth. And I think that's just His love.
Right. We're not trying to be like a disciplinarian. He just loves us. He kind of shows you.
It's the same thing about the food in the Bible. No, so don't eat this, don't eat this, you eat this, do it that. Same deal, you can eat it what you want, but if you run around, you know, too much ice cream on the fish and salmon, you might be a little thick.
You call that average.
Sweating in the heat. I mean, there's consequences too.
Speaking of which.
Yes.
And so, you know, knowing, what are the things that can protect us? What is the path or the road that God wants to lead me on? How am I going to find that out? And that's to go to the Word.
Read the Word.
And read the Word.
Read the Word. Meditate on it. And then let's listen to the Spirit. The Spirit guides you and directs you in those words and in other things. But I'll show you what to do. Just matter most of the time, we're not listening. And a lot of us, like the GPS, I mean, most fathers do, you know, as men, we don't like sense of connections. And so we turn the GPS off, you know, and then, or we don't listen to it, or you make a wrong turn or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But you wait till you got just about lost, then you turn the GPS on.
Yeah, I'll find
out. I remember when I worked in Southeast Oklahoma, and there were so many different highways, the one that was normally would take was under construction. They had a bridge down, so you had to go way around. And it was so I just take off north. We was in Southeast Oklahoma, and so I just start driving north, and then I was talking to you on the phone. You're like, where are you at? I said, I don't know. Somewhere over here in South Oklahoma. Well, how are you going to go the right way? I said, I'm going north. And you'd be like, what's that going to do? Because I know I-40 is north. When I hit I-40, I won't miss it. I hit I-40, I'm going to go west. I'll make it home. That's all I knew. You know what I mean? I didn't matter. There's no GPS or nothing. As long as I go north, I'm going to run into I-40 somewhere. And when I do, I'll go west. And that was all the GPS I needed. You know what I mean? Probably saved myself 2 hours and I stuck that little Garmin in. And this is what it said. But it didn't. That was when it just barely had just got there. Didn't have cell phones with all that on it like it did now.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
What was the little thing that they had on the dash?
The Garmin.
Was it? Oh.
It was a Garmin. The original one, the thing. When the first one we got was a little Garmin that stuck in your, stuck up on your dash.
Oh, I didn't remember being called that.
You plugged it into your cigarette lighter and whatever you don't
yeah. use. Yeah. I thought we were something special when we got that.
We was. And my brother got it for us for Christmas.
The pastor that led us to the military base?
That same one did lead us to the military base in Florida.
Sorry, sir, we just need to turn around. Yeah, yeah. We're on vacation.
Dan Higgins did a military Air Force base in Florida. So you know why we don't trust them? You can't be trusted.
Sorry, sir, can we just go up here and turn around?
No, when the two armed guards of the M16 Center looking at you, like, what are you doing? I just want to turn around.
Didn't he, like, not believe us at first, or was he?
They look at us and they're like, we're just following this. It said go here.
Yeah.
I'm turning, going back to the IT and I'm going right. I don't know. IT is over.
Was, maybe we weren't using that when we were on, y'all were riding motorcycles and it, we went in the whole off-road. Oh, you know, long way on the dirt road. We went to
Angel Fire,
New Mexico.
No, that was using the iPhone. That's the way it took you, the state highway.
Yeah.
You
not
drove
on
121. 121. Here, Honorable. New Mexico.
You gotta go to the bathroom.
Sasquatch stays on that road.
I mean, those were like big boulders in the middle of, oh my gosh, I thought we were gonna have something jump out and attack us.
Yeah. So the GPS has got a rap for being not very accurate, not very good sometimes. So, like me and we have to do some things about that.
Well,
especially, they said especially in the mountains. It's pretty bad. Yeah. So they tell you don't even follow those GPS in the mountains. Go north, you hit I-40. Yeah. Did you finally hit I-40? Yeah. Yeah, there's a snowstorm too. Hit I-40 turned up though. But sometimes that's, you know, I know I-40 is north of me, so if I hurt. I go north, I'll find it, and I just gotta turn and go west. You know, that was real simple with common sense right there direction. That might not be the easiest or the fastest, but as long as I was still going north, I wasn't gonna go past that.
You could run to it eventually.
Yeah. As long as I didn't go out and go south, I was gonna make it.
So, what are some of the ways that you guys have figured out, the path that God wants you to go on? How are some ways that you, well, and also going back to the rules, not necessarily rules, but guidelines, basically, to protect us. What has helped you guys to learn those things?
Trial and error.
I got it. Just following the Holy Spirit's lead. I think he'll let you know when something ain't right. Mm-hmm. When you feel that, don't keep going. You know? Listen to the Holy Spirit. You don't do it.
I didn't leave
you
on the right way. Like you're saying, whatever it was, you talk about you kind of getting dull to the Holy Spirit, or you kind of think, how are you saying that? That's the verse we're talking about.
Oh, today this. You got spiritually dehydrated.
Yeah. Well, we keep just not knowing the Holy Spirit tells you what to do, and eventually you don't really hear it, so you kind of get dull to it, whatever. You know, can't hear it as easy.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's clearly, I guess,
is the word. Well, I know. Like, a lot of us, we always went to church every Sunday. We didn't miss a Sunday church. We were brought up right, and we moved out. And I know me, I quit going to church. Quit going and didn't follow him and make a lot of mistakes in my life. And then eventually, I just happened to come back to church and it was like slapped to the face. This is why you got all these problems going on. it's why you're doing this, it's why you're doing that. You're not following the rules, or however we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Even finding guidelines or rules or whatever, this, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. That's why this is happening. It says it right here. You know this. You're doing it. You know it. And then got me back on track to healthy church. The Father, I need you to go to church, and you know in the back of your mind, I need to go to church. It's Sunday. I need to get right. I ain't been doing this. I ain't been doing that. And you know, the devil has his ways of, well, that golf course opens at 8 o'clock. Church is at 10. You want to go play that? Let's go play. And then you get around the wrong people. And then, luckily, find people and get back in there and get back on track. And then, for me, anyways.
Well,
you just, the biggest thing with me was an attitude type deal. When I wasn't in the Word and we were out.
You had an attitude?
No, not me, but I guess. you don't feel as happy as I was
there. Or that joy.
You don't have peace for sure. It's almost like an anxiousness. 24/7.
That's silly.
And then, that's why I think I don't try to miss any Sunday that I don't have to, because that right there, going to church and getting in the Word with other people, in my opinion, I think hearing other people, like this one in church on Sunday, 6-on-6, or whatever we did, I enjoyed that.
I thought that was me.
Yeah.
I know one thing I would do when you first kind of start getting saved, or first, maybe like talking about getting back into Word, because a lot of us who go to church are saved early, and then we fall away when we come back, you know?
Right.
Like what we said earlier, you teach a child, they'll come back to it, you know? But anyway, when you first started coming back to it, and you started trying to do everything right, everything fell apart, it seemed like. Everything was coming at you, everything you tried to do, right, was hard. The devil's not going to make it easy. So everything was hard. And I heard a guy say that if everything's coming at you, like you're just one thing after another's coming at you, that just tells you that you're going the right way. Because all the people, the devil and all the evil is going to hell. If you're going with the flow, you're probably going the wrong way. He says, the one thing that you're doing right is you having all these obstacles. The devil's going to throw everything at you. So it's almost encouragement. It's kind of like what Peter talked about. He enjoyed the suffering and the pain of his trials because you know you're going the right direction if you're having a bunch of stuff come at you. So if you're going against the flow, you're probably going the narrow path that's going the right way. I heard that, and so each time when you first start out, you start having a bunch of stuff come at you. It's almost knowing that I just said, well, I'm going to be going the right way. Because if I was going the wrong way, I'd be going with the flow. It wouldn't be having ears again.
Yeah. That they kind of say with the breakthrough, too.
Well, yeah, because once you get, like I said, you go with the crowd, the rush hour, whatever, you drive in rush hour traffic, you get out of that, right? So once the devil, he's going to throw all this stuff at you, and like I said, you get on your armor and you get your body, you get ready for all of it, you just go right on by those attacks, and then eventually, I don't know what to throw at this guy, you know? I've already thrown this at him, I've thrown that at him, I've thrown all this stuff, I've thrown all these darts, and he's gone through them. Eventually, the traffic weeds up kind of like rush hour, you know, you finally start getting outside of town, and there's still traffic, but it's not nearly like it was. So the more you go through stuff, the less devil. Because he uses the same tactics over and over and over since the beginning of time. He don't got no new tricks.
That's right.
They're all the same. So once you go through them, he'll give you the same trick in a different version. But
because he knows you pretty well, what works
best on you. Well, like I said, you know everything that you've done wrong. I know every mistake that I've ever made. You know what I mean? Because I've been there. So the devil can bring that to my head and it makes me, you know, someone tries to think, well, you're righteous. then was like, "Rashes, are you kidding me? How can you do this?" And see, he knows everything you've done, but you just have to remember what Jesus has done, and which other places have been, so you go talk to him. He said, not beside God, you won't talk to him. He goes, bring it up to him.
I was listening to Andrew Womack, and he said he went to this hippie, I think it was back in the 70s, and they were dressed long hair. He said, I grew up to where you had short hair, and your hair wasn't supposed to touch your shoulders. And he said, they're out here preaching, and they're on the righteousness of God. He said, there ain't no way you can be the righteousness of God. He said, you couldn't hold back no more. There ain't no way you're the righteousness of God. And he thought they was going to come at him. They came at him with love. He showed him a couple of scriptures. They showed him about him. I said, no, I am the righteousness of God. It doesn't matter if I drank last night. I'm the righteousness of God. That's not my identity. I'm the righteousness of God.
I know a good example that probably a lot of people could see on and for the like the devil telling you, trying to steer you away, like the cars or whatever, is when people first start tithing. Most people have a house payment and two vehicle payments, families, and you have family feed and kids, and you go to do you get your paycheck and you go to pay your bills, and you write out your tithe check first, and you write all your bills, and it's gone. And so the devil puts in the back of your head, well, if you wouldn't have paid that money to your tithe, think about what you could do with that.
Yeah.
That's something I feel like a lot of people.
I don't know how many times I've heard that.
Yeah, there's a voice in your head that'll tell you that, and then you gotta. It's the devil trying to get you to not tithe because he doesn't want you blessed and highly favored.
Yeah. Or what happens is when you start tithing, and then it seems like something breaks. It just seems like it just so happens that something will break at that time, and you need extra money to fix it, whether it's something with your plumbing or whatever. And but it just goes back to knowing that no matter what, God's going to take care of you. That's our faith that we stand on. That, you know, no matter what I'm going to do, I'm going to tithe, and I'm going to. Go ahead and set forth.
It was kind of like what they were talking about, that message where, you know, he planted his garden and it rained and it killed it. He planted his garden again and it rained and it killed it. And the third time he planted his garden and now it's going to grow. And that's what it is. You should just continue moving forward and doing what you know you should do, even when there are things that are around you.
Right. And I think that, the devil knows, well, if they figure out this tithing thing, God's really going to bless them. So if I can figure out how to make them where they won't tithe, you know, then I can keep them in, you know, this not blessing by the God.
You're a slave to lender.
Right.
Yeah, he can keep you a slave. You don't have to worry about you spreading the gospel to more people and saving more people.
That's the only place in the Bible that I have where the Father says, test me in this. Tell me in this. It's the only place that says, test me in this. See what condition you won't have increase.
That's right.
And I definitely know that because we decided to be tithers and givers, we are where we are today because of that. And I'm thankful that my children have seen that, and I believe that they're better off than they normally would have been at this age. They probably could have been, you know, they're way better off now than when we were at their age. And I believe that that is something that God, you know, does through that. Well, celebrating Father's Day today, and a little bit about our earthly fathers and our heavenly fathers, and we just hope that you guys have a happy Father's Day tonight and a good night's rest, and we just pray that you have a good week this week, and everybody want to just shout out a good night to everybody, and we'll have to sign off on this radio.
Good night.
All right, guys, we will be back next week. God.